Ghost Horror Group.
They're here.
Alive. It's alive. It's alive.
East Coast Horror Group presents Dead Art Movie Reviews.
Salutations and mutilations, you're listening to the East Coast Horror Group presents Dead On Movie Reviews. Tonight we will present horror movie reviews and lively debate here on EastCoastHorrorGroup.com and on future select Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can join our live chat at that time by clicking on live shows and join us here on YouTube Live. Or you can join us by clicking the links in our new Facebook Live event. I'm Tim Kretschmann. I'm your host, coming from the East Coast of Lake Michigan. It's my honor to introduce the Faculty of Fear panel presenting tonight's lectures. We begin by traveling into the wild, deep jungles of Pennsylvania, where the ancient native people worship a goddess that paints on people and throws deadly pen caps at them. She is called the Inspirer of Ink, the Tantalizer of Tattoo, the Death-Dealing Dagger Diva, the Purveyor of Piercings, the Pen Cap Pugilist, and most of all, our disturbing denizen. She's always pleasing and named after a season. She is Autumn Dies.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Autumn. It's great to hear from you.
Woohoo! Woohoo!
And we know you're very busy at the shop. We're always glad that you're able to come on the show. All right. Next, I introduce our gingerific co-host that prefers to go by his new name, Little Baby Drew Drew Face Puss Puss Seidler. It's Drew!
Puss Puss. Three things I want to say. One, what the fuck was that? Poos, poos. Sounds like you just put syllables together that try to make me mad, and it worked. Number two.
Hey, you can count to two.
I'm watching this live stream now on my television, and I've never noticed this before, but there is a teddy bear behind you, and I'm sure that, or at least convince me that you don't lure children with it.
I do. I totally do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's and number three, I just wanted to say, Tim, I love you and appreciate everything you do. And Daddy loves you, and he's proud of you.
And now we go to the sidelines where our coach is ready to scream at us, and not in a sexy way. Like his victims, I mean, not that I'm into it. He's the ancient warrior of death and hate. He's Coach Michael Exler.
Well, thank you, Tim Kretschmann. How are you?
I'm doing great. I think we got a good show. I'm some of these movies tonight I know and love, and some of these I haven't even heard of before, so I'm very excited about tonight's show. So keep your ass in your seat, everybody. Sharpen your pencil. Let's get unruly with the Faculty of Fear. And we're going to start things off. Let's see. Oops, two left. And we have our first class coming up. We're with a Professor Autumn Dies. Autumn, tell us what you've been watching.
Well, Tim, I sort of kind of recently watched Stranger Things, but I enjoyed it so much I binged watched it, but to the point where I was like super exhausted, and I almost forgot what it was about, but I remember. So,
That's a great preface for your review. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. I'm really excited that you told everybody you almost forgot about it. So,
hey, at least I'm honest.
You are. You always are.
So what is this Stranger Things show? Where can I watch this at?
You can never watch
heard of it.
Netflix.
It's a Netflix program, is it?
Yes, and it's on season one on Netflix, and I guess season two is supposed to be coming in like October or some shit like that. Somewhere, I don't know.
Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Which I'm gonna fucking watch it, of course, just because.
You better fucking watch it.
Fucking A, I know, right? And you guys watch this as well, except for Baby Drew, right?
No, I've definitely seen it. We've interviewed these kids before.
Yeah, the four boys in the show were all featured at Atlanta, Days of the Dead. And you can find the video out on YouTube, correct, of that panel?
Yes. That is correct. Or go to eastcoasthorrorgroup.com, hit the search button, and type in Stranger Things.
That was great, Mike.
Thank you. This is the first show I've done sober in a long time, so.
Oh
boo. Until sadly.
It's not please.
Dog is huge, so we're all good.
Oh gosh.
Autumn, keep the show. Keep the show on the rails, Autumn. Keep going.
I'm going. Okay. So, all right. Okay.
Why is there so many Christmas lights everywhere?
There's because like the son, he goes missing. Will, he ends up being taken by some stranger thing. But
what does it do? Does it touch him?
Do what now?
What does it do? Is it like a molester? I don't understand.
It's like a creepy monster that I guess I'm not necessarily sure what exactly it does, but I'm thinking like takes like a life force or something, or I don't know.
It sounds like it'd be called something like a demigorgon or something.
Maybe. I don't know. Partially refreshed myself. But, yeah, I suck. Okay.
Who else was in it? Was anybody from Beetlejuice in it?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Winona Ryder's in it. And,
oh, shit. I was just another lucky guess.
And David Harbour or something. Yeah. He's in it.
What would you say the atmosphere about the movie is?
Yes, the atmosphere. Oh. That's perfect.
I don't know. It's kind of, like, weird in part of it, but super intense. Because it definitely just, like, draws you in. Because you start, like, feeling so much for all these characters. And, like, his mom's going absolutely fucking bonkers. And, she, like, found out, like, the lights note is, like, part of him, but it's also, like, the monster thing, and that's, like, so she's, like, communicating with him with the lights and shit. I don't even fucking know.
If you had to pick a decade that this movie felt like, what would you pick?
Oh, like, 80s or 60s? I don't fucking know.
The 60s?
Oh, I've never seen this shit ever in life.
I don't think she's seen the show.
I watched it, but like I was multitasking because like I'm fucking trying to do all kinds of shit and like pay attention to other stuff. And
are there any girls in the movie?
What?
Are there any girls in the movie?
There's. Oh, yeah, there is. She's, like, escaped, like, project, I guess, from the science lab. Huh?
Who is she?
I forget what her name is.
Is it a number or is it a name?
It's a number. She's 11.
There you go.
But, yeah. Well, so she can, like, do shit with her mind, but it makes her, like, her nose bleed and stuff. but she really likes the kids because they found her. But
does she like any sort of food?
I don't remember what she liked to eat.
Frozen breakfast food?
Yeah.
That goes in a toaster?
That you wouldn't let go of?
Pop-Tart things.
Oh, no! Get the fuck out of here! You've never watched that, ever!
Never seen it.
Show on.
This might be the best review ever.
I told you I didn't really, like, retain very much of it, but it's, like, the only recent thing that I've actually watched other than what I talked about fucking last time. Damn it.
You guys are killing me right now.
Okay, gosh, you guys suck.
So what about the Upside Down? Is that a thing?
The Upside Down?
Yeah.
No.
Oh no, there's an Upside Down!
Oh,
God, I'm
dying.
Thank you, Bob. Obviously, this show got your attention and kept it the whole way through.
No,
so.
Like, you can watch it again, of course.
That's good, because he missed it the first time.
Oh my god. I watched it within like two fucking on fucking Netflix while working on my goddamn jewelry and all this other shit. So you guys can eat a dick.
We love you anyway.
You're on a jury?
My jewelry.
She said jewelry, not jewelry, you fucking idiot.
I've been on a jury before. I couldn't watch anything.
They let you watch Stranger Things on the jury? That's why she wasn't paying attention.
It was a missing child case. They thought they'd get her prepped.
Oh man.
Whatever.
Did it? Okay. In all seriousness, did it remind you of any movies? Any other movies at all?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe one with the alien in a basket with bicycles.
Okay, maybe a little bit, but I don't know. I didn't necessarily like compare it to that, you know? I haven't seen E.T. since I was, like, fucking tiny.
Wow. Since the last time you saw Stranger Things.
Huh?
Since the last time you saw Stranger Things.
Whatever.
I hope you kick their ass, Adam.
I've got work on, like, so much shit. I still, like, do the podcast, too.
No, we appreciate that you came on and were able to give us this review. Let's get to the grade here. Let me bring that up. Where's the grade? There we go. So, it's time for your report card. Autumn, tell us, what is your grade for this TV series?
I obviously need to watch it again, so I'm not going to give it a grade.
No, that's not fair. You have to grade it.
Nope.
She was going to give it a 3 anyway.
I was trying to type it incomplete. Okay. That's all right. You know, that's if I don't mark down notes while I'm watching a movie, I can't review it either. I can't remember the stuff. Well, I think the rest of the panel, we'd all probably recommend it. And I'm sure, Autumn, you would recommend it, wouldn't you? At least? Autumn? Hello?
Is that a matter of?
I don't know. I think she's mad at you. And the pounding of the keys. I think she's still on.
Yeah, I'd recommend for people to watch it.
Okay.
I'm going to fucking watch it and stuff, too.
Well, thank you. All right. We're going to move on to Drew. So, Drew, what have you been watching?
I watched Stranger Things a long time ago. I remembered it. But this past week, I watched a movie called Honeymoon. There is a couple of honeymoon movies out there. As I found when I tried to search, I clicked on one of those like BuzzFeed, what's the best horror movie on Netflix, April 2017, or whatever the fuck it was. And this was in the list. I saw it was starring the You Know Nothing Jon Snow girl from Game of Thrones. Tim, I know you haven't.
I'm not up to date.
Mike, have you ever seen Game of Thrones before?
Yeah, I've seen it.
So, that's all you have to say about that?
Actually, I was trying to think of what the girl's name was in the show, and I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
I know she was a wildling, but that's...
She was a wildling, yeah. Damn, she was the wildling girl. It was like Gilly or something? I don't know. That's the fat little kid's name. Anyway... So I think what this movie was, just to kind of shorten it up, was that, and it's a story that's been told before in many different ways, is that when you marry someone, and then maybe you kind of realize you don't know who they are, or maybe that kind of dread sets in about having a family and all these new responsibilities, not speaking from experience at all, obviously, but... I mean, I guess that's probably what I compare it to, is just kind of a, you know, another way to show and describe uncertainty of marriage and this weird thing that we call marriage. So, You Know Nothing, Jon Snow Wildling gets married to her, obviously then fiance. And, I mean, they seem to have the best relationship ever, you know, a storybook, you know, sparks novel romance kind of a thing, right? So for their honeymoon, they go away to their family's cabin in the woods, which is, you know, a horror trope that usually can deliver, but a trope nonetheless. And throughout that, it's never really explicitly said what exactly is going on, but everything leads you to believe that there's some sort of alien abductions or some sort of extraterrestrial experimentation that's going on at this camp. And the wife starts to get really strange and not remember things. And in her notepad, she's writing to herself notes about herself and about her husband and who they are and where they met. And they're not remembering things, but she looks exactly the same and pretty much acts exactly the same. So, of course, the husband starts to freak out a little bit. And it's just kind of, without spoiling anything, kind of just goes into descent of, you know, her madness. And this aliens kind of things comes to a head. But that really, like I said, I think takes a side seat to the main point of the story, which, like I said, I just equated it to the uncertainties of marriage and different pressures for having kids and stuff like that.
She played Ygritte.
Ygritte, that's her name, correct.
Mystery solved.
Ygritte, isn't that a bird?
It could be, I don't know.
If you want it to be.
It's a bird.
As far as, I mean, it is a horror movie. I'd recommend it to people who are fans of horror movies or thrillers, kind of psychological stuff like that. There's not a whole lot of gore. There's a little bit of nudity and sex just because these people are on their honeymoon and they're acting like they're on their honeymoon.
Oh.
She is obviously attractive, you know, which helps with that. But, yeah, it's kind of one room set kind of a piece, just the cabin for the most part. So it didn't, you know, the budget wasn't huge for it, but it was set up properly. You know, all of the technical things that you would expect from a proper movie were there. So really nothing, no grades to take off there. It's more about just the writing and how it was executed, I guess, on screen.
So was it well paced?
I think part of it, I mean, I always say this a lot of the time, and maybe I'm just thinking too deep into it, or giving the director too much credit, but it can be a little slow at times, but you really need to get to know these characters in order to understand the changes in her later in the movie.
Okay.
So is this more suspenseful rather than like straight out like shock value gore?
It's definitely not shock value gore, but it's definitely scary. And there's definitely an alien sci-fi element to it. That, I mean, they don't shy away from it. I mean, within the first 15 minutes of the film, there's a bright light, you know, comes through the window when everyone's sleeping, kind of a thing. So,
okay.
The great.
That's what they don't even really describe. You don't really describe or see any sort of extraterrestrials. Well, I'll take that back. You do.
The gray people.
What'd you say?
The gray people.
Oh, I thought you said they rape people.
That too. It's something they often do.
That was going anal to probes. Actually be a little too close to what exactly this movie had a little bit of. Anyway, there might be a little bit of alien rape. You don't really know.
You never know.
Like alien rape.
No. What? Rape is okay.
What?
Can't rape the willing, Drew.
God. That's disturbing on so many different levels.
Yeah, it is. So where did you find this film?
It was on Netflix. I think I said that it was on like a top 10 best Netflix movies of the month on whatever like BuzzFeed clickbait bullshit.
Of the month?
Clickbait.
Okay.
Yeah, they usually have it of the month, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking clickbait sucks.
Did you say clickbait?
Watch it. All right. Well, it sounds like maybe you're ready to grade. Is that right?
I'm definitely ready to grade, sir. All
right. Okay, give me a second to pull up the grade book. Alrighty, what is your grade for Honeymoon?
I think the acting really kept you focused and kept you, your attention throughout the film. And for that reason, you know, I always wanted to know what happened next, even though there wasn't a lot of gore or a lot of conventional horror aspects. It definitely kept me on edge. I'll give it a B minus.
A B minus. All right. That's actually a high score from you. That's pretty good.
Yeah, be careful when you go to Netflix. There are actually two films called Honeymoon out there.
I literally said that before I started talking about the movie.
Yeah.
I wasn't listening.
It's obvious.
This other one's about a dungeon. Psychotic doctor kidnaps his neighbor and locks her in a dungeon where he uses twisted conditioning methods.
That might be the next one. I might just watch Honeymoon's back to every single movie I do for the rest of the year.
What? And then Haunted Honeymoon, you have to see.
There you go.
Wasn't that the one with Richard Benjamin? Was that Haunted Honeymoon?
No, you're thinking it's Richard Pryor.
Dom DeLuise and...
Chevy Chase is in there too, right?
No. Gilda Radner, I think, is in it too.
Gilda Radner and...
And Gene Wilder.
Chevy Chase is not in Haunted Honeymoon.
Which one is Chevy Chase in?
Probably thinking National of Nothing Lincoln. But Trouble.
Yes. I think so. And then Saturday the 14th is the one with Richard Benjamin, right?
I don't know who Richard Benjamin is.
You don't?
No.
Okay, he was the star of Westworld. And then he went on to play Van Helsing in Love at First Bite.
Who is he in Westworld?
He was the star. He was the guy with the mustache that gets chased by Yul Brynner for most of it.
Oh, we're thinking of two different Westworlds, obviously.
The movie.
Yeah, no, I never saw the movie.
Good old Richie Benj.
Yeah, he's been directing for a long time. I think he directed a bunch of the Adam Sandler movies when they were still worth seeing, but I think he's continued with them and has ruined his reputation. Hey, if I'm remembering correctly.
You're not.
Okay, well, there you are. Those were my feelings, and now they're gone. All right. Well, then we're going to move on. And we go now to Mike. Mike, what have you been watching?
Watch the 2016 film Beyond the Gates. This was also on Netflix. Or you can go to Amazon and watch it for $3.99. Right now. So, I read the synopsis of the film, which I guess I'll just do this. Two estranged brothers reunite at their missing father's video store and find a VCR board game dubbed Beyond the Gates that holds a connection to their father's disappearance. Now, I don't know if you guys remember, but in the 80s when VHS took off, there was a lot of VHS home playing games, like Clue had one.
Yeah.
One of the more popular ones was called Nightmare.
Okay.
Where you would pop in the VHS and it would give you commands on things to do and you'd have a board game and sort of went along with that. Well, that's exactly what this Beyond the Gates is.
Ooh.
In this story. So
I like it already.
The only person of note in this film is Barbara Crampton. She's been in some horror films. It's a notable name. Reanimator is one. Chopping Mall is another. One of my favorite films, Chopping Mall. She has her head blown up by a robot with a laser in Chopping Mall. And it's actually pretty cool. But in any case, she is the person on the VHS that's like running this Beyond the Gates film. So, very low budget. I actually looked up on IMDb and it was actually $300,000 was the budget of this film. I don't know where that came from. I don't know where they put it. The camera work, the camera just didn't have a good quality to it. There's a lot of films that I know have been made for far, far less. And it was, how do I say, this one was just lacking in really lighting, the quality of the camera, the cinematography just was not very good.
So well lit, you're going to say no to well lit.
I mean, it was bright enough.
When was it made? When was this made?
Like 2016.
This was 2016?
Yes.
Because the images I found online, I figured it was like late 80s.
I don't know if they were going for that vibe. You know what I mean? That
the atmosphere?
Yeah, the atmosphere. The 80s. Which, it doesn't make sense if they were, because they said in the film several times that this was, you know, happening in present day. The video store was actually pretty cool. I don't know where they found this place, but it had a lot of memorabilia in it. A ton of VHS tapes, and it looked like it was a store that was still renting VHS, which I thought was kind of cool. The acting was beyond subpar. The two brothers, the one was like the straight-laced. He got out of town and he has some important job in the city type deal. And the other one stayed home, or stayed in the hometown and kind of didn't do much with his life. But the guy that was the brother that has the big important job in the city, his acting ability was about zero.
Oh boy.
He was, I'm pretty sure he was reading off of cue cards at one point.
Oh. The only thing worse than that is when they're mouthing along with the other actor, their line. That's the only thing that you can do is worse.
Yeah, I just don't know where they got this guy. The main girl lead in it and the other brother that stayed in this hometown, they were capable enough, but this other dude just brought the movie down anytime he was on screen, and sadly he was pretty much like the main character.
Oh boy.
And he has a very punchable face. I mean by that.
Just like me.
It means I want to punch him in the mouth over and over again. So, it goes on to basically, they start playing this game, and the game has dire consequences. Yes, it comes from this shady antiques establishment with this weird guy that sold this game to their father, who has disappeared. But he has history of disappearing, I guess. But they didn't really get involved in that too much.
Was it the same guy that sold the Mugwai to Mr. Peltzer?
I think that's what they were going for, but this was far less effective than either the Mugwai or the guy that sold the Hellraiser box to Frank.
That's true, yeah. I didn't mention him yet.
This was really far less effective. This guy was actually annoying, and I wanted him off screen as soon as possible. So they continue to play this game, and within playing this game, they get deeper into this whole where their father is and all that kind of stuff.
Wait, let me back up a second. They're digging a hole to see where their father is, or it's like this whole where's your father thing?
This whole where's your father.
Okay, so there's no actual hole in the air.
No, there's just gates in the basement.
Sometimes I was trying to picture it, and I was like, wait a second, this doesn't make sense. Okay.
Yeah, as soon as they started playing the game, this mysterious gate appeared in their basement. So it had like the stone pillars right on each side, like a cemetery gate type thing. So that just appeared, and a fog machine was always on when they went down. So let me see what else happened. They just essentially have to play this game and acquire these keys, and if they acquire 4 keys, then they can find their father.
Legends of the Hidden Temple, dude.
Yeah. The Silver Jeez. Monkey. The movie, I thought it had a really decent premise. A lot of people grew up with games like Nightmare and Clue, and I know there are a ton more that I'm missing. I think G.I. Joe might have even had one. I know Masters of the Universe had one. It had bones of a really good story, but they pretty much failed across the board with it.
The box art is dope, though.
No, it's not.
The box art? Oh, I'm thinking he's showing a different one with Barbara Crampton on the cover of it.
The one with her in a whole bunch of different colors?
Yeah, and like running through gates. I thought it was dope. It looked kind of retro and cool.
Yeah, again, I think they were really going for an 80s feel with this. But again, they all had like iPhones and stuff. But they did have...
did have iPhones and stuff?
Yeah, they were driving modern cars.
Well, it starts costing money when you go too far down that road.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe they were just going for it half-heartedly.
Yeah, I think if you would really, scrub this script and get some capable actors in there. If you look at the screen now, the guy with the glasses on, that's the jackhole that can't act for shit.
Right.
And I want to punch him in the face.
Well, I figured that because his face was most punchable.
Yeah,
right.
Very
yeah.
punchable.
Yeah.
9 out of 10 in punchability scale.
there's a punchability scale?
So, there were some monsters. There was a couple deaths. One was actually pretty good. It was definitely practical because definitely wasn't going the CGI route. And the person that got killed was very deserving when that happened. And
I was happy. It's got to be Punchable Face, man.
No, he does not die.
No.
Yeah, the three that you see on screen right there, the two brothers and the Punchable Face guy's girlfriend, they do survive.
That sucks.
There's no death for them, but there is death in the film. So yes, they have to get beyond the gates to learn the truth about their father, which we really have almost zero backstory for the father, other than he loved the video store and he would disappear a lot, which I don't understand because they didn't say anything. So yeah, that's pretty much Beyond the Gates in a nutshell. So I'm definitely ready for my grade.
Okay. So, what are you grading Beyond the Gates?
Beyond the Gates, like I said, it had a good story in there, but they did not bring it forth. So if someone wants to take this story and make it better, I suggest you do that. I have to give this a D-.
A D-?
Yep.
Ouch.
Just failed. Just wasn't there.
Wow. That is with the extra harsh sauce on that one. But I saw that coming. Your review was leading up to... I thought you were going to give it an F for sure.
The movies I've given Fs to have been pretty god-awful. This, like I said, there were capable parts in it. The one death was really, really cool. I liked the premise of the story. But like I said, they failed in that. So I couldn't give it an F.
Okay.
It's not Cannibal Killer Clowns on Dope Bad.
Oh, that's such a great movie, though. All
what about
right.
The Dark Waters of Echo's Pond.
Dark Waters of Echo's Pond was just really bad.
So, okay. It's time now for my review. I'm doing a movie yay. That is... What?
I said, oh. Yay!
Yes, my movie is still in the movie house. And
you can ask me about as big as possible on this.
It's going to be tough. I am not going to spoil. Alien Covenant is the film that I saw. Oh, gee. This past Sunday, actually. I saw it on a Sunday afternoon. How to start this? And I am going to, at times you're going to see me stopping. That's going to be me making sure I'm not spoiling something. So please bear with me. This is really, and this is in the promotional materials. This is a mix of the Prometheus that came out, 2 years ago now, I think, and Alien 1, most strongly, with some sprinkles of Alien 2 in there. Now, just when you're thinking, hey, that's good, that sounds like exactly my jam, what if I told you that the main taste was Prometheus? Would that change your mind?
Nope.
If you loved Prometheus, this has more the feel, atmosphere of Prometheus than it does Alien. Now, where that's helpful is it's beautifully shot. It is a gorgeous film to look at. It's well shot. You can tell this is not some director's first foray into film. This is done by a guy that knows what he's doing. So that's great. My problem with Prometheus was it was talky, 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 nothing happening. That there is kind of something here to that. If I told you that this film had a second act that is flabbier than my waistline, would that change your mind? Because this has a great first act. It has a great third act. That second act goes on forever. I don't know what the hell. The middle of this movie, they're building a storyline that I wish they would have just made it quick, walked away, and been done with. And they kept developing it and kept developing and kept developing it. Again, I'm not going to get too deep into it, but there is one character that gets an awful lot of screen time. And you're kind of like, okay, enough. And You'll probably figure it out once you've seen the film. There's a lengthy scene of teaching somebody how to play the recorder flute. I don't know. When I go to see an alien movie, music lessons isn't what I signed up for. So I have a problem with that. The Giger alien. Now, remember in Prometheus, he kind of had that fleshy-looking alien? This is not a spoiler because it's on all the posters. The Giger alien does show up again. Okay? Danny McBride is in this film. I don't know. Are you guys Danny McBride fans?
As a comedian, I think he's hilarious. I don't know what he's doing in this movie, to be honest.
Well, isn't he? He's involved in the reboot of Halloween, I think, too.
He is. I don't think he's on camera.
I think he's behind the scenes. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if he's in a producer role or what, but I know he's dead set on making it, bringing back Scary to the Halloween franchise.
Yeah, he's a huge fan. Here, he plays a character named Tennessee, and he's the prototypical space cowboy type of character. Now, the character of Tennessee is not a terribly deep character, but it does exactly what it needs to be in this film. And while every review I read on this movie, everybody's given Fassbender the blowjob, the character of Danny McBride is probably the most interesting to watch on screen. He just has a lot of gravitas, and you instantly kind of know where he's coming from. I'm sorry.
So that's Magneto.
Well, that's Fassbender. Yes. And he comes back as the character he played in Prometheus. And
Cyborg.
And he has another role in the film, and I'm not going to get into any of that, but he's definitely the character that the screenwriters really were in love with.
And he was nominated for an Academy Award for Prometheus, I think.
Yeah. Okay. I honestly sat there and watched the film and kind of went, you know, all he's doing is acting like a robot, which is not acting. You know, it's like not showing emotion. So I don't know. I was not a fan of Fassbender in here. I'm in vast minority on this. I was like, whatever. Danny McBride, every time Danny McBride was on the screen, your eyes locked on him. And a lot of times he was like one of three people that was left behind on the ship while a lot of people went onto the planet. And every time he was on, it was like, bang, you were looking at him. And it wasn't just because he was the guy that you knew, you know, that was a name actor. It was because he was the most interesting. He had the most stuff kind of going on. I'm sorry?
Was he funny at all?
I don't think so. I don't think so. In fact, I would...
Is it the comedy relief at all?
I don't think so. You know, like Bill Paxton, I always said in Alien 2, he was the comedy relief of Aliens.
R.I.P.
He did not go that clowny. It was really that he's just a Texan, and this is...
I thought he was from Tennessee.
Well, they call him Tennessee, but he had a Texas accent in my mind. But, you know, he was just, he was a cowboy type. Now, what's interesting, this is actually pretty interesting. I found this on IMDb. Each of the Alien films features a different type of group interacting with the xenomorphs. In the first movie, it was a bunch of miners, remember? In the second movie, in Aliens, it was the military. In Alien 3, do you remember what that was?
Prisoners.
Yes, prisoners. Yeah.
In Alien Resurrection, that's the one with, I think, Winona Ryder. That was smugglers. And then in Alien vs. Predators, the first one in 2004, that was archaeologists.
Uh-huh.
And then in Aliens vs. Predator Requiem, it was like suburbanites. In Prometheus, it was research scientists, and this time, they are colonists. Because the idea is they are on a deep space voyage. They have, I don't remember what it is, 2,000, 4,000 colonists that are in hypersleep, just waiting to be thawed out when they get to this special homeland that they had found that has the right atmosphere for them to sustain life, okay? And this is pretty early on that they tell you this. And as they move along, they find this other planet that has a great atmosphere too, and it's right there. Instead of way out, they would have to ride another 7 years to get to this other planet. So they're like, hey, we got a great one right here. Let's go. And that's what really sets the movie into motion. Billy Crudup is in the movie as kind of the captain type character. Now, do you guys know Billy Crudup at all? Yeah, he played, like, I think it was Captain Midnight or something on, what the heck was the name of it? The comic book movie,
Constantine?
No, it's the movie that everybody said couldn't be made. I can't believe I'm drawing a blank.
The Watchmen.
He was the guy that was basically naked through most of The Watchmen.
Oh, Blue Dick.
Yes.
Dr. Manhattan.
That's him. So he's in this. Now, Billy Crudup in this movie gives one of the most wooden performances I've ever seen.
Awesome.
That's kind of the character. So you kind of go, well, that's the character. But to a certain extent, I think the actor has to at least make his character somewhat interesting. I don't think he did that. So I'm really torn about what to think about Billy Crudup. I look forward to hearing you guys, your opinion when you see it. Now, here's some really good news. They brought back the Goldsmith theme from the original movie, which Jerry Goldsmith, I think, had a great theme for setting the "we're in a haunted house in outer space" kind of feel for a whole movie, where it was kind of creepy and haunting. It comes back, and it felt like an old friend had returned once you hear that. Once you get back to the Giger aliens, you're like, thank you. Thank you for coming home. This is what I came to see. There are a number of great, and I have a hard time saying, are these horror sequences? Are they action sequences? I think they're horror sequences, first and foremost. But the action that occurs during the horror when the alien is attacking. Spoiler, everybody, the alien attacks people. It's really super well shot, where you don't miss what's actually happening, but it's almost shown in a way where you don't see it entirely, so you just have an impression of what's going on, and it's great because it draws out your own imagination to a certain extent. That's not to say that they're playing hide and seek or Where's Waldo with the camera. You get to see what's going on, but they don't just like, okay, let's lock the camera down and let's just watch this thing gnaw on it. It isn't like John Carpenter's The Thing. They just lock that camera off and you really get to see the creature. Here they're doing so much activity that is involved with it. It really is good. There is one of the first alien attacks is probably one of the best kills in the whole series. So really worth it for that. The movie runs 2 hours, almost exactly 2 hours. In my mind, had they brought it down to 90 minutes and really cut down there were a lot of all the references to Prometheus in this. Had they cut those out? I think you have a taut little thriller, a great scary movie. But because they kept wanting to draw in Prometheus, I had read that they already had a treatment that was more of a Prometheus sequel than an Alien sequel, and then they saw the kind of mixed reaction to Prometheus, and they said, okay, let's get the aliens spun up into the storyline a little bit quicker. You can really tell they didn't just abandon the script. They used big portions of it. And those were the portions that I didn't find particularly interesting. And Prometheus, at least the ideas were interesting, but ultimately not interesting enough. Here, I don't even think the ideas are that interesting anymore. They're just trying to throw some philosophy on this so that you go, hey, this isn't a B-movie. This isn't a B-movie. Well, we know it's not a B-movie. You spent $111 million on the thing. It's not a B-movie, but maybe it should have been. Maybe it should have been, because I think the first movie is a remake of It Came from Outer Space. Maybe that's, you know, something more streamlined. This had so much detail put onto it, I just had an issue with it. That being said, the movie has already surpassed the global take of $161 million, though it may not reach $80 million domestically. What that kind of tells me is the next Alien movie they put out, they're going to take a good hard look at the Japanese and Chinese audience to see what they liked about the Alien franchise. And we may see the Xenomorph morph once again into something a little bit different. Is it going to be going more to Aliens route? Is it going to go Shudder when the Alien versus Predator route? I don't know. But it kind of feels to me like they're going to make another tonal shift here. Oh, and I didn't mention Catherine Watterson, who, those that are watching the video, she was just hanging from a rope there. Catherine Watterson is the main character. She's kind of a short-haired action. She's supposed to be, you can tell, she's kind of like, here's Ripley Light. I'm kind of torn on her. I thought she was okay. She's certainly a capable actress. I thought the character was a little... It just wasn't anything new or interesting. I can't really even... If somebody was to say, describe this character to me, I don't know what I would say. She was just kind of like a generic character. That being said, She's one of the better characters, you know, but there were an awful lot of throwaway characters in the film. A lot of very cardboard characters where you're like, oh, that one's going to get killed, that one's going to get killed, that one's going to get killed. And you literally are looking around and you're like, is there anybody that's going to survive? Because none of the characters are truly developed. And that becomes a little bit of a problem when you know so many are gonna bite the dirt. So
that Laura Linney is in it too, right?
If she's in it, I didn't recognize her.
Okay.
If she's in it, she could be. It's been a long time since I've seen Laura Linney. But I didn't recognize her.
She's in one of the shots here, like she's in a cockpit on the feet. I thought that was her, like she had dreadlocks or something, maybe.
Well, that would be interesting. That's actually one of the best scenes in the whole movie, that sequence. So
there are, in fact, xenomorphs in this.
There are xenomorphs.
Okay, so I want to say two names to you, and just tell me if they ring a bell. You don't have to get into it.
Okay.
Neomorph, toddler.
Those aren't ringing a bell.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. I don't know what you're referencing. We'll have to talk off air. I don't know what you're talking about, but there is a good facehugger scene as well. I think I've mentioned to you that my favorite sequence in all the Alien movies is actually in Aliens, the facehugger scene in the, I guess, the infirmary.
When Rick gets out and chases around Ripley and me. Yeah.
Right. I think that's a fantastic... I think that's the scariest scene, and it's in one of the least scary movies. It's, you know, an action movie. But I think that scene's scarier than almost anything. I think my favorite scene before this movie would have been when Dallas, the captain in the first movie, is going around in the sewer pipes or whatever, and they're saying it should be right there and all that stuff. That's a great scene. That's a fantastic scene. This movie, I don't think, had that level of suspense, but it really did have some well constructed action sequences with a lot of activity and murder and death and mayhem, which made it a lot of fun to watch. Most of the character, most of the audience that I saw it with, I don't think saw the original Alien, because they were like shocked at portions where I'm like, this is clearly the same thing that happened in the first movie. So that was interesting. I also should tell our younger viewers, this is a hard, hard R movie. The last few Alien movies have been PG-13 at best and didn't show any death or anything. This movie not only has a lot of swearing, some really, really graphic murders, but it also, and I think this is only the second time in the entire series, has some nudity in it. So that was interesting to me. I was like, really? They're going there? So it was interesting. It was a fun movie. But let's get to the grade. All right. There you go. Besides, it takes a second to get everything set up. So where does this stand in my head? And I'm going to give this one a B, just to give it a grade. But I think what most people are going to ask is it as good as? And then, you know, the other movies in the series. I would put this movie behind Alien and Aliens. It's not as good as those. But I think it's better. Alien 3 is the one that I'm not sure. I like Alien 3. To a higher degree than I think most people do. I kind of go back and forth about Alien 3, but I think it's a little bit better than Alien 3, and it's certainly better than the other entries. It's certainly better than the Alien vs. Predator movies and that horrible, what was it, Resurrection, the fourth one. That was just complete garbage. So, now, the real wild card is at Prometheus. So, I hated... Well, I didn't hate... I strongly disliked Prometheus. If you liked Prometheus, I have a feeling you're going to rank this higher. But I really would have a hard time understanding somebody saying, you know what, I liked this movie better than Alien 1 and Aliens. I would have some difficulty understanding that point of view. Those are classics. I think this is an echogram. It's a lot of stuff that we've seen. So I don't know that you can give this a... I don't think you can say, well, this is better than Alien. I think you're out of your mind. But it's a good movie, and I definitely would suggest see it on as big of a screen as you possibly can find and go see it. I'm not sure if this one's in 3D. If it's in 3D, I would probably say go out and see it in 3D. It's that good visually. And I think you guys haven't seen it yet. I think you're going to enjoy it, and I really hope you have a good time with it. So that was my review. All right. Well, we are almost completely out of time, and want to thank everybody for coming out on tonight's show. I hope you all had a great time. Let's see, Drew, what's coming up on Thursday on From Dusk Till Con Radio?
Well, yeah, we didn't have a show last week because the wonderful Penguins of Pittsburgh had their Game 7 win over the Ottawa Senators, and now on to the Stanley Cup Championship for the second straight year. But yeah, we're going to talk about more horror stuff. Got a lot to catch up on. Do we have a guest, Mike? Is that what you were telling me? Is Adolfo coming on?
We do. Adolfo Dorta will be on.
Ooh.
Making his grand return. It's been a while.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's always nice to talk to Adolfo. See what we got coming up on the horizon for Days of the Dead. And, bullshit about some horror with him. It's always nice to speak candidly with Mr. Dorta himself. So that'll be good.
Fantastic.
And, of course, make sure you like and subscribe and comment below.
Yeah, and for a show like that, you're going to want to get into the chat room. And From Dusk Till Con, we've been able to throw the chat room right up on the screen for people. So it's a little more fun to watch now. So check it out and have a good time with that. Mike, what's going on EastCoastHorrorGroup.com?
Not much, just putting these episodes out. We just got the finalized panel schedule for Days of the Dead Indie, so we'll be hard at work at that. So just look for the shows to come out. Also have some Scream at the Screen episodes that we're going to be releasing, and then we'll move right into panel time, where we got some new ones that we have not done before, so...
Okay. It
should be pretty interesting. We'll talk a little bit about more of that on Thursday. So keep checking our YouTube channel and EastCoastHorrorGroup.com. There's always archive material that you should go check out.
And also, if you look over to, I believe it's on the left-hand side, we have a link, and you can get a Fast Custom shirt at FastCustomShirts.com of East Coast Horror Group. If you want to look like all the great kids at the next convention, you need to have this shirt. Otherwise, you're an outsider. So, make sure you get yours right away. Okay. I don't do that as good as you guys. You guys always... Let me tell you, that's my favorite game, is you guys trying to bring that out. And I never know when it's coming and trying to hit that link when it's time.
Wow. That could not be more of a sexual innuendo if you tried.
Probably couldn't. Okay, East Coast Horror Group hopes you had a great Memorial Day weekend and look forward to seeing you in Indiana. So, until next month, despair, for all hope is gone, but East Coast Horror Group just keeps coming and coming. Good night, everybody. Hope you enjoyed tonight's Dead On Movie Reviews.
Ha 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 ha